There's a story of a woman who around noon on September 11th, 2001, walked from her office to an ecumenical prayer service at a nearby church in her hometown. For months, she had been angry with a co-worker because of this person's carelessness and abrasive manner. Searching her soul for a way to respond to the horror of that day's events, the woman concluded that, for starters, she couldn't let go of her resentment against her co-worker. There we were in church on our knees that day, begging God's mercy for the victims, for the terrorists, for the whole world, the woman recalls. Then she thought, what about me? How can I ask for mercy if I don't give it? So she prayed to help her forgive her co-worker, help the co-worker forgive her, and give them both the necessary grace to be able to work together constructively. It wouldn't undo the devastation of that morning's event, but it would remove a small bit of hostility from the world and add some forgiveness. My friends, we all know how hard it is to say that we're sorry when we've offended or hurt someone. But it may even be harder to forgive when we ourselves have been offended. This forgiveness thing doesn't always come easy to us. And yet, we pledge to do this every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Today's first reading from the book of Sirach is a call to the wisdom of forgiveness. Forgive your neighbor's injustice, and then when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. Sirach knew that anger and vengeance could destroy the spirit of the person harboring these feelings. But it's only our willingness to forgive others that opens us up to the healing forgiveness of God. And the gospel today, it's so unfair. At least that was my first reaction to Jesus' parable about the official who, right after his own huge debt was forgiven, tried to choke his fellow servant who owed him much less and then had him jailed. The official's cruelty is so unnecessary and so stupid. Why didn't he forgive as he had been forgiven? It seems like a no-brainer. Or is it? To be honest, sometimes forgiveness isn't our first impulse when we've been deeply hurt by someone. Our immediate reaction is to strike back at the person in fear and in anger. And if we've been nursing resentment over a long-standing hurt, our urge to settle the score is sometimes all the stronger. Most people wouldn't blame us for feeling like this. Forgiveness wasn't the normal thing in the official's world. Putting a debtor in prison or selling a family into slavery were the customary ways of settling accounts. But the king's change of heart was astoundingly abnormal. The king not only gave the official time to pay him back, he wrote off the debt completely. Brothers and sisters, if we are to survive any relationship, be it on an individual basis or even at a communal level, we must be prepared to forgive those who do us wrong. There can be no limit to our forgiveness, even when it seems most difficult to do. Forgiveness isn't a business deal. I'll forgive you if you do such and such a thing. It's simply there, asking of us only that we accept it. And how can we expect God to be merciful to us if we ourselves can't show mercy to those who do us wrong? The writer C.S. Lewis put it this way. To be a Christian, he wrote, is to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven it in us. In the second reading today, St. Paul tells us, if we live, we live for the Lord. With Jesus, it's possible to become people of forgiveness. And like Peter in today's gospel, who thinks of forgiveness as something to be measured and counted, our notion of forgiveness has to shift from that kind of thinking to a way of being in the world. Forgiveness isn't a thing to be counted. It's not a matter of keeping score or counting transgressions. Forgiveness is a way of life, a way of being with each other that sees everyone and everything as a gift from a loving and merciful God. Brothers and sisters, we can never, ever forget those images and sounds of 10 years ago today. If the words of Jesus about forgiveness ever came close to home, they were with us on that day. Forgiveness, my friends, often takes time. It's a process, sometimes slow, during which we become aware of the dawning of the Spirit in our lives, helping us to forgive. Some of us may only forgive up to 60 or 70 times, but we trust that God's grace of forgiveness will always be there. And if we can receive God's forgiveness, then we just might find the grace to forgive those who punished us so cruelly that day. We remember the horror and the vengeful feelings we all had at that moment, and maybe still have. The challenge of Jesus is to be a forgiving human being and to live in such a way that can reverse the downward spiral of vengeance and resurrect a world where there is mercy and respect and justice for all. And what better way to make us feel better and do better than fashioning a society and a culture where forgiveness is the order of the day? At the very least, employers throughout the world might meet basic standards, labor standards, and respect workers' rights. Immigrant workers everywhere might be actually treated fairly. Nations and economies built on forgiveness might even make for a world free of oppression, of terrorism, and war. Simplistic? Or is this just some utopian dream? Well, I don't think so. In the words of our late Holy Father of happy memory, Pope Paul VI, it's a hope based on the conviction that evil does not have the final word in human affairs. Forgiving our sisters and brothers from the heart is no easy thing. We can't do it alone. But we believe that with Christ by our side, it is possible. With Christ in our hearts, we can forgive from the heart. With Christ in our midst, our hearts will not harden. Our ability, my friends, to forgive others grows in direct proportion to our ability to see ourselves as forgiven sinners. In his spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius of Loyola reminds us that we come to see this best at the foot of the cross, as we gaze up at the one who crowns us with kindness and compassion. My friends, true peace and justice are possible in this world by God's grace, if we follow the teaching and the example of Jesus and forgive one another as we have been forgiven from the heart. So, brothers and sisters, let us begin to live this mystery today at the foot of the cross, at this Eucharistic table, and let us try again to begin forgiving from the heart, because when we forgive, we truly begin to be healed. Amen.